You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
A very good morning, boys and girls. How are we this morning? It is The Breakfast Show. I'm Jerry D. We're on 89.3, of course, Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. Great to be with you this morning, as I always say. Great to be with you any morning. It is January. It is the 12th. And as I mentioned, it is Thursday. A few things relevant to the date. We've got Memorial Day today, which is being celebrated in Turkmenistan. A National Youth Day in India. Prosecutor General's Day in Russia, who I'm sure is very busy. Zanzibar Revolution Day today as well, and that is being celebrated in Tanzania.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos dias en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
the best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Where do you go, my lovely?
Where do you go?
Yes, indeed. Where do you go? And that was No Mercy this morning. And also by LaBouche, of course, and covered there by No Mercy. At breakfast show time was 6.5 minutes. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock here on this morning's show. And let me see what we've got lined up for you. In the next hour, round about 8.25, we'll be linking up. Well, we won't be linking up. He's going to be with us here in the studio. Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. So we'll be checking in with Alex. No Yasmin today. She's got something on this morning. She's going to an event this morning. So it's just me. Nobody doing all the work, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to do some myself, I doubt. Anyway, apart from everything else, we'll be checking in with Ingrid for Everyday Story of Country Folk, our local news, international news headlines, and some business headlines as well. All coming up as normal here on this morning's breakfast show. Great music, of course, going right through till 10 o'clock. This is the Stereophonics. Yes, both channels. I Just Wanted the Goods.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
What a drag it is, the shape I'm in. Well, I go out somewhere, then I come home again. A lot of cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that means that much to me. All my life, watching America. All my life, panic in America. Oh, 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 oh. Trouble in America. Yesterday was easy, happiness came and went. I got the movie script, but I don't know what it meant. A lot of cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that means that much to me. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that I can believe in. All my life, watching America. All my life, there's panic in America. Oh, 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 oh. There's trouble in America. Oh, 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 oh. There's panic in America. Oh, 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 oh. Yesterday was easy as I got to new. Oh, when you get it straight, you stand up. Just can't lose. Give you my confidence, all my faith in lies. Don't stand me up, don't let me down. No, I need you tonight. To hold me, so you'll be here. Hold me, so you'll be here. Hold me, so you'll be here.
Go, yes, a Razor Light and America. And that's almost brought us exactly to 15 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock. What do we do then? Oh, we do this. Yes, we're going to get you in the shower this morning. I tell you what, we've just so happened, purely by coincidence, nothing happens on purpose on this show. We played Where Do You Go? That was from No Mercy. And I said that it was originally a LaBouche song. Well, in the shower with you this morning, this is LaBouche, Sweet Dreams.
Dreams of passion through the night. Sweet dreams are taking over. Sweet dreams of dancing through the night.
I wanna make me wait. I've got a sweet dream of rhythm and passion. Don't make me wait. Don't make me wait.
Go, there's a good one in the shower this morning. Time to get you out, by the way. On your way. Pop, pop. There you go. And right, Sweet Dreams. That comes from the band, as we mentioned, at LaBouche, and it was originally released back in March of 1994. It was a lead single off of their debut album of the same name. And in North America, the song was released in November of 1995. It was successful on the charts, reaching number one in both Italy and the Canadian charts as well, the RPM chart up there in Canada. Also peaking at number 17 on the Euro Hot 100 chart as well. In the United States, the song reached number 13 on their Billboard Hot 100. And there we go, so there you are. Those were the days, you know. Actually, it wasn't that long ago, really, was it? Anyway, lovely to have you with us this morning. If you are keeping on the time, we're 21 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock this morning. Tell you what we've got as well. We've got a little bit of a tribute to Jeff Beck, who passed away. I got the information last night, which is all rather sad. Right now, though, it's this Cher and Runaway.
Nobody said it. Nobody gives you guarantee. 'Cause a heart can always be broken. There can be no loving without tears. Run away. We'll be right back.
Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Well, you done me in your bed, I felt it. I tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my best. This and nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Just to try to see it clearer, but my breath fogged up the glass, and so I drew a new face and I laughed. I guess what I'll be saying is there ain't no better reason to rid yourself of vanities and just go with the seasons. It's what we aim to do. Our name is our virtue. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. I look into your heart and you find that the sky is yours. So please don't, please don't, please don't. There's no need here to complicate, 'cause our time is short. This, oh, this, oh, this is our fate.
Jason Mraz there, and I'm yours. Breakfast show time, if you are keeping on the time. We are just coming to 29 and a half minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Celebremos juntos los 20 años del Panama Jazz Festival. Clínicas, conciertos, simposio de musicoterapia, la noche de gala en el Teatro Nayansi y el gran cierre con Gilberto Santa Rosa del 16 al 21 de enero. Compra ya tus boletos en panamajazzfestival.com. Produce Panama Jazz Productions. Coproduce Fundación Ciudad del Saber, a beneficio de la Fundación Danilo Pérez. Patrocinan Ministerio de Cultura, Alcaldía de Panamá, Banco Nacional, ATP, Marriott Panamá, Más Móvil, Copa Airlines, Ron Abuelo, Alamo Rent a Car, Cerveza Cristal, ¿te invita?
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. It's not only you that gets stressed, you know, so does your car. Take it to relax and take care of itself at the best and cleanest car spa in Panama. Valley Motors in Clayton, Suite Danville, Saber. All car services in one place. Overhaul, bodywork, oil change, car wash, suspension, tyres and brakes. And I tell you what, go along and tell them and say, hey, Jerry D sent me. And they'll give you a safety checkup and a car wash. Don't forget, give them a call, Valley Motors, 6431-0419.
Valley Motors.
It's Morning Radio, the breakfast show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
And it is time for us on the breakfast show to take a look at some of the international news headlines and some of the business news as well for today. Ukraine said on Thursday its troops were still holding out. This is despite heavy fighting on a battlefield covered with bodies in the salt mining town of eastern Ukraine, where Russian mercenaries have claimed Moscow's first significant gain in half a year. The ultra-nationalist Russian mercenary group Wagner, run by an ally of President Vladimir Putin, outside the normal chain of military command, has claimed to have taken Soldar after days of intense fighting that left it strewn with Ukrainian dead. People in China worried on Thursday about spreading COVID-19 to aged relatives as they planned returns to their hometowns for holidays that the World Health Organization warns could inflame a raging outbreak. United States Airlines said that they expect operations to return to normal on Thursday as the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, scrambles to pinpoint the cause of a computer outage that grounded flights nationally and to prevent it from happening again. 511 U.S. flights, however, were delayed and 63 cancelled as of Thursday early morning, according to FlightAware. The United States Health Department on Wednesday extended the COVID-19 pandemic status as a public health emergency, allowing millions of Americans to continue receiving free tests, vaccines, and treatments. Aides to United States President Joe Biden have discovered at least one more batch of classified documents in a location separate from a think tank office he used after serving as vice president, news outlets reported on Wednesday, citing unnamed sources. The seventh consecutive atmospheric river since Christmas dumped more rain on Northern California on Wednesday, offering little relief for a state already battered by floods, gale force winds, power outages, and evacuations of entire towns. More than half Germany's companies are struggling to fill vacancies due to lack of skilled workers, the German Chambers of Commerce and Industry said on Thursday in the latest sign of growth headwinds. Beta-boring Europe's largest economy. The proportion of companies facing difficulties hiring was at its highest ever level, the DIHK found in its survey of 22,000 companies, with 53% reporting shortages. World stocks held on to modest gains on Thursday on cautious optimism that US data will confirm inflation is softening, while the yen rose with a report Japan will this month review the side effects of its ultra-easy policy. An MSCI gauge of world stocks rose 0.2% to a four-week high by 8:31 GMT, ahead of core US consumer price inflation, which are expected to have slowed to an annual 5.7% in December from 6% a month earlier. Month-on-month headline inflation is seen at zero. Bonds held gains, also mirroring hopes of a softer inflation print, and the US dollar was near a seven-month low against a basket of currencies. Europe's stocks at 600 equity benchmark index that rose by 0.4% to its highest since April of 2022. As for oil, that rose about 1% on Thursday, supported by optimism over China's demand outlook and hopes that upcoming inflation data from the United States will point to a slower increase in interest rates. Top oil importer China is reopening its economy after the end of strict COVID-19 curbs, boosting optimism that demand for fuel will grow in 2023. Brent crude rose 91 cents, or 1.1%, to $83.58 a barrel by 1100 GMT, while U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude, that's WTI, that gained 74 cents, or 1%, to $78.15. Both benchmarks jumped 3% on Wednesday, driven by hopes that the outlook for the global economy may not be quite as pessimistic as had been feared. And lastly, getting back to the problems with the flights in the United Kingdom, the breakdown of a key computer system, which resulted in the suspension of US flight departures on Wednesday, is not the first such issue to hinder Federal Aviation Administration operations, and happened amid efforts to upgrade technology. The 90-minute halt, which was caused by a problem with an alerting system that sends safety messages for pilots and others, occurred less than 2 weeks after a different critical air traffic control system caused flight delays at major airports in Florida. The latest glitch disrupted more than 11,000 flights on Wednesday. And that's it. There we go. Those are some of the things in the international world and in the international world news, and of course in the world of business. There we go, that's the Bangles, and they're busy, they're walking like an Egyptian. try doing that down the Santa Costa area, get some strange looks. I mentioned briefly earlier on this morning, and if you remember the other day, we had reason to play some music by Jeff Beck, and sadly, he passed away. Of course, one of the most influential rock guitarists of all time. He passed away yesterday at the age of 78. Now, he rose to fame as part of the Yardbirds, and that's where he replaced Eric Clapton before forming the Jeff Beck Group with Rod Stewart. Now, his tone, presence, and above all, volume redefined guitar music in the 1960s and influenced movements like heavy metal, jazz, rock, and even punk. We're going to play a few tracks right now, and we're going to start off with Heartful of Soul. And this was the track that was recorded by the Yardbirds. Was the first single, just after Jeff Beck replaced, believe it or not, Eric Clapton. Go, Harp of the Soul from the Yardbirds, first to track with Jeff Beck on in the group. And I tell you what, I'm going to move on to a song called Shapes of Things. That one, by the way, was released in July of 1965. It was in February of 1966. They released a record called Shapes of Things. Now, the reason I've chosen this one, because it features on here Jeff Beck's musical use of feedback, which he learned to control by finding the guitar's resonant points and bending the strings. Music writers have called his work groundbreaking and cited its influence on the likes of Paul McCartney and Jimi Hendrix. Several live Yardbirds recording with Beck and later with Jimmy Page have been released. Yeah. There we go. Yes, the Yardbirds and Shapes of Things. Right, just hit one. I've got a request in here. This is from Paul over in the United Kingdom. Good morning to you, Paul. And he asked if we'd add a track. It's Jeff Beck's version of Hi-Ho Silver Lining. And this was, 1967 when they released this one on the UK singles chart and got to number 14. The single spent a further 11 weeks on the chart when reissued with the autumn of 1972. And this was also, this track, Hi-Ho Silver Lining, was also made originally by The Attack. Jeff Beck. Silver Lining from Jeff Beck. And Mary Lou asked if we could play. I mentioned earlier on, so we started talking about Jeff Beck. After the Yardbirds, he went off and formed the Jeff Beck Group. Jeff Beck Group with no other than Rod Stewart. And this is People Get Ready. Here on this morning's Breakfast Show, keeping an eye on the time, 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. People get ready, and that's Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart. By the way, he passed away. Apparently, he suddenly contracted bacterial meningitis, and he peacefully passed away yesterday. Apparently, asked, of course, for privacy while they processed this tremendous loss. So there we go. By the way, his last album was called 18, and it was a collaborative studio album with guitarist Jeff Beck and actor, producer and musician Johnny Depp. And that was released on the 15th of July of last year. That I don't have a copy of. Must try and get hold of it. Right, let's say a very good morning. I've got some good mornings to get through. And first of all, let's say good morning to Renee and Rick over there in Athens. In Greece. Renee says, good morning, how's your car? Well, it just had a ding in the door, so it's not too bad. It's at the Chapasteria there, so it's going to sort it out for me. Do you hear from Sarah much these days? No, we don't, in actual fact. She's gone also very quiet. I must drop her a line, actually, myself, and see what's happened up. That's when we used to do our feisty foodie. You asked if we could play some food for you. Banana pancakes. That's by Jack Johnson.
Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But baby, you hardly even notice when I try to show you. Song is meant to keep you doing what you're supposed to. Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend now. We could pretend it all the time. Can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. But just maybe, like a ukulele, mama made a baby. Really don't mind the practice, cause you're my little lady. Lady, lady, love me, cause I love to lay you lazy. We could close the curtains, pretend like there's no world outside. Then we could pretend it all the time, no. And can't you see that it's just raining? There ain't no need to go outside. Ain't no need, ain't no need. Can't you see, can't you see?
The banana pancakes. I haven't had my breakfast yet. Let's say a very good morning also to Anna Maria this morning. And she says here, she dropped a little note this morning and says, "Hi, Jerry, good morning. Could you please play Island in the Sun by Weezer? Thank you and have a great day." Yeah, of course we can. This will take us up to the top of the hour to the news.
FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
el Teatro Nayansi se viste de gala para celebrar los 20 años del Panama Jazz Festival con Danilo Pérez, Brian Blade, John Patitucci, Erika Ender, Chucho Valdés, Global Jazz Womex, Román Díaz y muchos más. Del 16 al 21 de enero. Compra ya tus boletos en panamajazzfestival.com. Produce Panama Jazz Productions. Coproduce Fundación Ciudad del Saber. A beneficio de la Fundación Danilo Pérez. Patrocinan Ministerio de Cultura, Alcaldía de Panamá, Banco Nacional, ATP, Marriott Panamá, Más Móvil, Copa Airlines, Ron Abuelo, Alamo Renta Car, Cerveza Cristal. ¿Te invita?
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. And that is what you're listening to right now. The Breakfast Show with me, Jerry D, here on 89.3 Cool FM. Now, something to think about. If you're going on your vacations, you're taking the car. Is your car ready for these vacations? Well, if you're going to go on the road, first check the car out with the best. That's Valley Motors in Clayton. A place that has a passion for cars, for your car. So don't forget, in this vacation, that nothing leaves you on the road. Don't get stuck. All right, come to the City of Knowledge. Come to Valley Motors. You can make your appointment now by dropping them a line on 6431-0419. 6431-0419. Remember, the best vacations start with your car. Don't get left on the road. Time on The Breakfast Show. We are 13 and a half minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
So
With Jerry D.
We started off those two with Bruce Springsteen, and if you didn't recognise him, that's because he was in a brilliant disguise. And this is Jimmy Clear from Wonderful World and Beautiful People, and I tell you what, talking of which...
Good morning, Panama! Good morning, Jerry! Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Well, today is Thursday. It is day three of I Have a Puppy. Oh my goodness, and I'm learning a lot about puppy life, mostly about how sharp those teeth are. We do have the extension of the house is doing very well. The roof is all up, as I said the other day. And today, yesterday, they laid out the entire, what do you call that? Floor? No, foundation. Yeah, that's what it's called, foundation. So it looks like today they'll start putting the cinder block up. Boy, oh boy, is it moving right along. It's keeping me quite busy. However, it's starting to rain again. What's happening here? I thought January we were going to be in the dry season. It feels great. It's, you know, I had to turn off my irrigation system because what's the point of watering if it's raining? Let God do his thing and her thing and we'll enjoy the water that way. excuse me. I seem to have some post-nasal drip from all this rain. That or I have an allergy to a dog or to flowers. Not sure which. Well, gosh, the Vernera are blooming like crazy. I'm still seeing so many flowers. It's just divine. Everything is just growing like... like weeds, but they're not weeds, they're beautiful flowers. The ground is still a little soft, and I don't know if you can hear it, but that's the rain. Yep, we got rain out here. It's a wonderful little sound. It just like you're taking a soft shower. It's very relaxing, very calming, but I'm sure it doesn't go well with construction. But they have everything covered with tarps, so hopefully they'll be all right. They won't get the sand too wet, and or the cement's very well protected, because, gosh, you don't want to block a cement in a bag already cement. That's not what you want. Excuse me. Well, I better go get me a good big old cup of coffee. It's time for to tell you that tomorrow is Freaky Friday Fun Facts. Ooh, I bet you can guess what I'm going to do Freaky Friday Fun Facts about. I bet you will. Well, I hope wish you all a wonderful Thursday. Work, work, work. I'm off to work, but I'm going to enjoy the rain and a cup of coffee right here in the back of the patio. Until then, back to you in the studio.
My God, you fly thousands of miles to get some sun, and it's raining cats and dogs. Typical tropical. I go on vacation, and Mother Nature gets up on me. Yeah, what a lady. Thanks for at least sending it down preheated. It doesn't seem to bother the natives, though. Back home, it gets no one laughing. And here they even sing to it. Must be some voodoo rain chant or something. And it sure sounds familiar. Oh, well.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain. Got a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain. I'm singing, just singing.
Tell you what, there's a great version of that song. That's Taco and Singing in the Rain. If you remember the song we've often played, Putting on the Ritz, comes off the same album, which is all very good, called After Eight. It's not the minty kind either. It's time to... Alex, stop dancing around the studio. Put the umbrella away. That's a good boy.
I will do that.
That's a nice version of that song. It's good
it
fun.
Is.
Yeah.
I had not heard it. I did hear Putting on the Ritz. I think mm-hmm. it was one of my favorite songs at the time. And I was not aware that he did other songs. I thought it was kind of a one-hit wonder.
One album wonder, really. It was called, After Eight. There were some great songs on it. And it's all in that sort of retro-type style.
Not bad.
Well, it was retro now. Not sure it was when it came out.
Speaking of retro, I just started working on computer called the Amiga 500. It's a computer from the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it back together. The floppy drive is giving me trouble, so that's going to be a little bit difficult to...
Starch?
Yeah, just try to get it repaired. I did manage to scratch a few floppies, the 3.5-inch mm-hmm. kind, and but I at least just getting it to turn on and be ready to work is kind of a you know, an accomplishment, because we're talking, you know, 40-year-old hardware.
Sure.
And so on. So I get a lot of satisfaction out of, you know, getting all of these older devices back up and running.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But tell me, is there somebody, I mean, I guess there must be, there's somebody out there, isn't it, making money selling floppy disks?
Not only that, I mean, I don't think they're manufacturing that many anymore. They're still being manufactured at some point because of industrial equipment that mm-hmm. works with mm-hmm. the floppy drives. The one that I remember reading about recently is there's a chain of restaurants called Chuck E. Cheese, and mm-hmm. one of the things that they do is have animatronic characters on them. I think there's one Chuck E. Cheese left that still has these animatronic characters, and they just came out with the 2023 edition of their show,
mm-hmm.
and it comes in a couple of floppies and DVDs for whatever reason. There's a copy of the 2017 show on the Internet Archive, that's archive.org, which is a website that we've mentioned in the past, mm-hmm. that's where you can look at previous versions of some websites. But they also have an archive of, like, old software and, you know, things that aren't being made anymore, even recordings and audio and video. It's a really, really nice place to explore all of this stuff that from way back when
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that is being preserved. And it's a project that if you can donate to it, it's really worth it, because they're doing a lot of work to preserve all of this stuff that otherwise would just be lost to time.
Sure, absolutely. I tell you what, I have got thinking about that. Somewhere I've got lying around in his case with all the games, mm-hmm. one of these little handheld games. I can't remember what it was. It was very popular at the time.
Was it from Sony, from Nintendo, Atari?
It might have been Atari, I think.
Oh, could be a Jaguar or a Lynx.
It was sort of like a double-handed thing,
yeah.
and a little screen in the middle.
Yeah.
You used to play things like blocks.
Well, you might want to look into eBay. They are going for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
They usually go in some sort of like a dip curve, in the sense that they are very expensive when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple of years later, when they become obsolete, then they become next to worthless.
Mm-hmm.
But then as nostalgia kicks in, the price starts to increase.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of price increases back in the pandemic, and then the price decreases as people, you know, saturated the market. It's kind of coming up again. For example, a new floppy drive, if you want to buy one, could cost you between $70 and $80,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is about the same price, not constant dollars, of course, that it used to cost back then, you know, late 80s, mm-hmm. early 90s, mm-hmm. when they were manufactured. So, yeah, if you want to preserve a lot of these devices, you can either go with the original and try to keep it period
mm-hmm.
accurate,
mm-hmm.
or you can use a lot of emulators. That's also pretty big right now. You can get a little box in the shape of a floppy drive that can take USB or SD cards.
Okay.
And then simulate whatever floppies you want as images, as files within that. And you can pick and choose with a little button and a mm-hmm. LCD mm-hmm. screen, which is interesting. Or you can also get a floppy sound and hard drive sound emulator for when you're using solid-state drives,
right.
and you want the computer
right.
to click and whir like if it was using
idea.
A mechanical
yeah.
drive. So, yeah, I mean, there's a great market out there. I follow a whole bunch of YouTubers, most of them in English. Maybe I'll start doing some content in Spanish regarding retro computers. There's
mm-hmm,
one
mm-hmm.
from England, really good one. He calls himself Parafractic. There's Adrian's Digital Basement, the 8-bit guy. They even write software for these older machines
mm-hmm.
in 2023. There's successful games and software and whatever that people get from these for these machines. And
mm-hmm.
I compare it to that enthusiasm some people feel for, like, old cars. And they
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
they have them in the garage, and
sure.
they work on them and so on, and get them all prettied up and whatever. Same thing happens with computers now and game consoles
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
on. Or you can emulate them. You know, the Raspberry Pi, that very successful small board computer that's about the size of a deck of cards. You can use that to emulate most of the consoles right up until the 2000s very well.
When you have something, what was the one you're working on at the moment?
The Commodore Amiga 500.
What about software?
You can get a lot of the software from archival sites, and some people are actually writing even new software for some of these machines. It's just a kind of a labor of love because you could just do the same thing on a modern computer much better. But it's just the value of these very simple to work on computers that drives the passion of some people to engage in this activity. If you look at a IBM PC from 1981, the 5150, that famous model that pretty much started it all, it's made from pretty much all off-the-shelf components because IBM wanted to get to market as soon as possible, so they didn't have time to develop custom chips or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They only started doing that in the late 80s. But in the early 80s, they used stuff that you can today buy at the local electronics store for pennies. Keeping them working and fixing them can be pretty easy, except when some of these custom chips breaks.
But tell me, so what will you use it for?
Kind of a nostalgia display.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when you have a turntable and play, you know, vinyl records. And
that's new. That's new technology now.
It's renewed technology now. I mean, you can go fully digital with those if you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite strange because I saw a while ago now a turntable that was advertised. And it's just a nice, you know, look very, very nice, nice little square box. And you put your album in it and it plays it with a laser. So nothing touches you. But I'm saying, but that isn't analog. That was digital because this must be taking the information from the album and putting it into binary.
Not necessarily. And this is how the Laserdisc worked.
Mm.
The original Laserdisc, which is also a format that some people like because it's analog, uses the laser just to measure the distance between the sensor and the platter itself. And using that information, which is analog, it's being fed to whatever amplifier circuits or whatever. You can pretty much easily do that nowadays. In fact, that's kind of how, and this is from a YouTube channel that I also follow called Tech Connections, Technology Connections or something like that. That's the same way that audio was added to 16mm and 35mm film back in the mid-20th century. You would see the film strip with a tiny, tiny representation of the audio that kind of looks like when you open your MP3 file on your editor, wave function and so on. It just feeds a sensor that's behind the light projection device or whatever, and that turns it into a voltage. And it's fully analog, no digital at all. It's just a standard waveform, and it goes analog all the way. I'm sure that some of these devices might have some digital parts for whatever reason, but I'm sure that they can do it fully analog without any problems. And the great thing about that is you will get the clicks and pops.
I was going to say, they're going to be built in.
The thing is, the clicks and pops are going to be identical most of the time,
which
is weird. Because, you know, one of the things that you expect from analog media is that the clicks and pops will always be different. I mean, imagine that. Every single time that you're listening to a vinyl record, it's different. In a very tiny, probably unnoticeable way, at least to my untrained ears.
Interesting. I'm just looking, and because you're talking about you know, following, and the guy you follow on, and there's one guy I'm trying to find because I can't remember his name offhand. I'm just looking at my subscriptions, but he does reviews of phones, mainly phones. I think he's bought every cell phone in the world, and his reviews are really good and so well made. I'm just trying to
In fact, that reminds me of a YouTuber that had a whole wall full of phones, and another YouTuber, his channel is DIY Perks. I really recommend that one. He does a lot of do-it-yourself projects, like today I'm going to build this wall of you know, for phone storage for this other YouTuber, and you press a button, and the phone that you're looking for on an app, it just pops out.
Oh, really? Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing what that guy can do. But yeah, there's a lot of people out there doing reviews, not only of phones, but a whole bunch of other stuff. And, I get a kick out of watching all of those videos and see all of the passion that some of these individuals put into.
And some of the complexity, as I said, his the way he sort of edits and the custom is apart from anything else, it's just a joy to watch.
Yeah,
he was the other day he was doing one of the most expensive phones in the world, and one of them, I think the last one was a Samsung, and it came in a big wooden box which you had to pry open with a thing.
Crowbar.
Yeah, exactly. And you're talking about technology.
Mm-hmm.
This was the problem yesterday, wasn't it?
I'm not sure yet. At least they haven't given
us
details.
They had saying was to do. There was a piece this morning, which I read. I put it on this morning's news. Let me just. I think I've got it here. Let me just get it up, because they were saying. Hold on. No, it's on here.
The system is called NOTAM. It used to be Notice to Airmen, but then they changed it to Notice to Air Missions. And it's based on the same system. This was built in 1947 that was used for ships at sea at the beginning of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a notice before you travel, before you actually take off, that tells you, okay, you need to watch out for this closed runway, or you have to watch out for this storm or whatever. And that system was not working for some reason. So about, I think, 8,000 flights were grounded,
11,000 flights. I just remember, because it was the last piece I think I had on the tech news. So, yeah, a breakdown of it. Stop doing that. It's moving on. Yeah, it says the breakdown of a key computer system which resulted in the suspension of U.S. flight departures on Wednesday is not the first such issue to hinder Federal Aviation Administration operations. Happened amid efforts to upgrade technology. And it says the 90-minute halt, which was caused by a problem with an alerting system that sends safety messages for pilots and others, occurred less than 2 weeks after a different critical air traffic control system caused flight delays at major airports in Florida. The latest glitch disrupted more than 11,000 flights on Wednesday. I mean, you would have thought it's like upgrading anything, isn't it? Why is it then with these systems, there isn't somebody that's working on it all the time and is upgrading? It's like, you know, when you upgrade your phone. Why aren't there times when they do an automatic upgrade or whatever, when it's quiet?
That's interesting, because, for example, for air travel, it's not usually quiet. I mean, at least not in the U.S. I mean, they have flights coming in and out all the time. So it's a little bit more difficult. It's kind of like changing a tire with the car still running. So
you've never done that?
No, not yet. And working from, you know, from inside the car. So it is very difficult in some ways. I have been working in the past couple of years a lot more, at least in Latin America, with mergers and acquisitions. And when one company buys another or is bought by another, just the fact that you need to transfer all your information, say you're Jerry at company A and now you're Jerry at company B, just that movement of information without disrupting anything.
Couldn't they be running have available two versions? Mm-hmm. One which is running, mm-hmm. and one which they upgrade and test. And then when it's done, they just stop that one and start that one.
In fact, that's usually called a test dev prod environment, where you have a development platform which you develop stuff on and run it there. That doesn't disrupt production. Then you have a test one where you test all of the stuff that you do in development. And if that works, then you switch over to production. But still, even then, errors can creep in or discrepancies can creep in. And you have to be prepared for that. I mean, one of the things that I tell people is you need to first have visibility of everything that you have. Then you have to be able to audit and even prevent a lot of these mistakes from happening and shutting you down, but you have to be prepared for when it does, because even in the face of all of the protections and all of the redundancies built into a lot of these systems, it is just a matter of time where something will break. So you have to work on two things. One, being able to recover at all, and two, having that recovery time be as small as possible so you can get back to work. I think getting back to work in 90 minutes for such a complex situation in the United States is actually commendable. I mean, remember how long were we out with the... Yeah, that was very worrisome. And that was not due to any safety systems or whatever. It was just, you know, their network. And I'm sure they've worked on making it even more resilient. But that's one of the, I think, trends for 2023 and going forward. Companies are going to be more not only focused on cybersecurity per se to prevent and avoid a lot of these problems, especially stemming from cyber attacks if they happen, but also on cyber resiliency to be able to recover really fast when they can. For example, you remember, I think it was last year, the East Coast pipeline problem that made the U.S. gasoline for like a week. Well, that happened because of a ransomware attack. And companies need to be not only able to detect and prevent ransomware from running, but they also have to prepare for the fact that there will be, at one point in time, some ransomware attack or even just a bad right click on the wrong thing by an administrator that could take down your entire network. You need to be able to recover in minutes, not hours or days. I mean, one company in Brazil lost a couple hundred million dollars because they, you know, they didn't have any infrastructure left after the attack. So they had to spend a whole bunch of money just getting everything back together, and they lost a lot of revenue.
Oh, it wasn't because they bought Bitcoin?
No.
Okay.
And not only that, but if it's a retail site, if you need to buy something and the site is down, you go somewhere else, you buy it, that money is gone. I mean, you you can't get it back. So it's very important for companies to invest in resiliency in order not only to prevent these errors from happening or these problems from happening, but also in working to have a business continuity plan that allows you to recover from that as quickly as possible and get back to work right away.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Computer. Alex Newman, we're going to take a piece of music and we'll be right back.
Well, run until
Lola Marsh and Never Grow Up. Well, I tried. Mentally, I didn't. Physically, unfortunately, not much I could do about it.
All that you grew up was physically.
Physically, exactly. So, let me see. So, we talked about the technology. How, you know, I think I might have mentioned to you, I had an instance the other week where technology is updated.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, but it can also screw up, can't it? Ordinary technology. For instance, we had, you know, I have a Redmi Note 11 5G Xiaomi phone, which is great. But then we had, it was the new update. And I think we mentioned it last week. But then you can't now use auto thingy for, mm-hmm. what's her name?
Mm-hmm.
Echo Auto. You can't use that. I can't get my Spotify. I mean, how big a deal is that? Because it doesn't just apply. Apparently it applies to older iPhones. But that if the stuff is older, I can, mm-hmm. understand it. But when the stuff is new, where's it falling down? Is it falling down on the side of the person who is bringing out the new system, or the people that make the phone that can't cope with it?
It depends. On most situations, it's different. But one thing I can tell you in common that all of these situations have is that we live in a world where there's a complex ecosystem in Windows, in macOS, mm-hmm. in iOS, mm-hmm. in Linux, in Android. And all of these systems are interconnected and interrelated. And a lot of the times, a developer will say, okay, so I'm going to work with this version of the tool. And then a Microsoft, an Apple, or a Google, or an Amazon says, I'm going to work on a new thing. So let's phase out this old thing. Sometimes the phase out period is, say, 5 years. And that's good. And even then you'll have holdouts. For example, I think the computers in the airport still run Windows XP or something like that, mm-hmm. which is about 20 years old.
And there's nothing wrong with it either.
No. As long as it's not in a situation that, because it doesn't have any new, sure. security updates, it gets...
It's a little bit like buying a Huawei.
A little bit different, but the thing is, a lot of the times these developers will invest a lot of resources in getting this out there, and then a parent company that, you know, runs the operating system, could be Microsoft, Apple, Google, whatever, says, we're going to head in a different direction. So you get left holding the bag. It could be worse. It could be worse in the sense that I've seen Apple a couple of times say, hey, that's a nice feature. Somebody thought of an app to do. I'll build it into the operating system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they get screwed because they can't make money because Apple took their idea and ran with it. I mean, that's happened a couple of times. And, the only thing that developers can do is work as closely as possible with the manufacturers so that they get first a heads up, hey, we're going to change this in a year, in 2 years, and start getting ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And B, try not to get blindsided and try to have a development team that can turn on a dime and come out with an update that will work. And using that, then you'll have a better chance of surviving updates. I mean, there's a lot of programs out there that many professionals use, for example, for audio and video production,
mm-hmm.
or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that don't necessarily run well in Windows 10 or 11,
right.
and they have to keep Windows 7 or something like that around because of that, and they have to weigh the decision, do I upgrade the rest of my system, or do I stay with this tool?
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly because a lot of people would invest in these tools in a perpetual license way. I mean, I'll pay a couple of $100, but I can use it as much as I want. Nowadays, with updates being monthly and software being paid as a service, like Adobe or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you can pretty much guarantee that software that you buy from, say, Adobe right now, will always work with the current version of the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually current and it updates itself and so on. So it all depends on the model and how it works. I see a lot of industrial systems that are still working with Windows NT, which is from the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I once had, there's a plastic bag manufacturing company in Panama that I had to work with at the beginning, at the turn of the century. And they had this computer that was running stuff from like the late 80s, early 90s. So we had to create a virtual version of that machine because the original software wouldn't even run on modern machines. So we had a ship in a bottle situation where everything was just running in this virtual machine, which wasn't even bad in the sense that we could make backups of that machine with the computer working. We could copy it somewhere else, run it in the cloud even. So there's pros and cons, and there's a lot of demand out there for knowledge on how to make all of this stuff work, especially in industrial situations.
An interesting situation, because I put my car into the repair yesterday. One of the doors needs to be sorted, a couple of doors need something out. And so I got a hire car yesterday. It's an older
Model T?
No, Kia.
Oh.
It's a Soletto, I think it is, but it's not the latest version. It's quite, probably 21, something like that, I think Christine said, which isn't that old. It's done 65,000 kilometers. But what I noticed in there, because when I bring home, I was sort of sitting downstairs checking it out, is that I can use my phone with Android Auto, which is great.
Yeah.
But why did they stop making it for your phones? Because now you've got to have a car with a screen. So if you want to use Android Auto, you've got to invest quite a bit.
Yeah.
But they've taken a good product out of your cell phone as well.
Yeah. I used to use Android Auto all the time.
Mm.
But the reasoning behind it, more like excuse, but the reasoning behind it is that most cars nowadays have screens that work with Android Auto, so you don't have to look at the phone screen.
Fine. But why not have a version on your phone as well? Why do you have to have a car now in order to use Android Auto? They haven't even come out with a substitute.
They probably just let the team go and got another team to work on the newer stuff, I'm guessing. It all comes down to, I'm sure, economic reasons. I mean, how expensive was it to keep
but
that?
But it was going already. I mean, it wasn't a fact that, we have to produce something so people can use it on the cell phones. It was already there. They could have just left it there because it obviously operates in a different way than it does in the car.
I'm sure that it relied on application programming interface calls from previous versions of the operating system, so it would probably not run on Android 11 or 12 or whatever. That's probably. I mean, you can still run Android Auto on an older phone, and you can get the file that's not available in the Android App Store right now.
Mm.
You can get it elsewhere and run it on your car, and it will still work. But they would rather you use a newer one.
And also, you can't buy a standalone screen that has Android Auto built in that you could put in the car and use it. Because you can't do that because it's all connected to the car's system.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I was using it yesterday. The maps and everything come up. You've got Spotify. You've got everything on there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so did the phone.
But in a tiny, tiny screen that you'd have to futz with.
But that's okay. If I don't have a big screen in my car, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I've always used my cell. At one time, we only had a cell phone with a tiny, tiny screen, which isn't so tiny these days.
I remember doing a special in 2011 for TV where we showed the BMW connected car experience that worked both with the iPhone and the BlackBerry. You could read your messages. Do a lot of stuff in the car. I am getting, I'm thinking of getting like a big screen or whatever for my car. But the biggest thing that I would love to get for my car is like 10 years old, maybe 11. I would love to get those 360 cameras. So you can, park better and whatever. It like shows you a top view of your car and you can really know exactly where you're
really,
parking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Haven't you seen those?
No.
The 360 cameras?
No, I've got Windows.
Yeah, but
and I don't mean the computer system either.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have to get out of the car and get back in from time to time when the blue light turns on. No, I mean, you can actually look at it in some of the newer cars. It's like a top view of your car. It's actually, the cameras are on the bottom of the car, but they do an image distortion so that it looks like you're looking at it from above. And if people are standing or if there's something that you can't see from inside the car, like the corner or a small post or whatever, you know how a lot of people crash, you know, into little tiny posts that you can't see while sitting in the car.
Oh, the ones that the mayor used to put on the corners. And you know.
Well, you can bump into those.
But couldn't see when you were in your car.
Exactly. Now, after you set up these cameras, you can actually just paint all your windows black and whatever, and you'd still be able to see outside.
I'll tell you what, the higher car I had, I got in it yesterday. The tint is so dark, I can't see a bloody thing.
Yeah, you have to use the force.
Well, you know, I mean, when I was leaving the car park where it was, I had to open the window because I couldn't see if there was a car next to me. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And you look in your back mirror, and it's tinted the back window as well. And I don't know what the cars are doing. I can just about see them. And to me, I mean, that's just downright dangerous. I mean,
definitely.
I'm going to hit something.
Or someone.
But, yeah, anyway, look, that's it. That was sort of basic technology, the stuff you put on your windows.
Yeah.
Alex, as always, thank you so very much.
Great to be
it's,
here.
It's been nice having you with us here on The Breakfast Show. And we're going to go off now. And if you missed the news at 8, we've got it again for you in just a couple of minutes' time. And hopefully you'll be able to join us again next week.
That would be awesome.
All right. Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, always great to have him with us here on The Breakfast Show. Time right now to do this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Celebremos juntos los 20 años del Panama Jazz Festival. Clínicas, conciertos, simposio de musicoterapia, la noche de gala en el Teatro Nayansi y el gran cierre con Gilberto Santa Rosa del 16 al 21 de enero. Compra ya tus boletos en panamajazzfestival.com. Produce Panama Jazz Productions. Coproduce Fundación Ciudad del Saber. A beneficio de la Fundación Danilo Pérez. Patrocinan Ministerio de Cultura, Alcaldía de Panamá, Banco Nacional, ATP, Marriott Panamá, Más Móvil, Copa Airlines, Ron Abuelo, Alamo Renta Car, Cerveza Cristal. Te invita...
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Ooh, and I love you. Ooh, and I love you. Wanted to hear the B-side, 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 B-side.
daytime.
Great band coming out of the United Kingdom, that's Gritti Paletti, formed back in 1977 in a place called Leeds in England, by a Welsh singer, songwriter called Green Gartside, and he's the only member of the band to have remained throughout the group's history. And they're still going. They went from 1977 to 1991, then back in 1999, and they're still going to this day. Gritti Paletti. And that's called Absolute. This is a great lady. Her name is Macy Gray. This is called Can't Wait to Meet Ya.
Love the life you've given, but I'm looking forward to the day I die.
goes, can't wait to meet ya. That's Macy Gray here on this morning's breakfast show. I'll tell you what, it's an interesting little article yesterday in the newspaper. It's about the mobility of Panamanians, how it's basically how it's changed. I mean, I for one, a great advocate of using Uber, because, and this is no offense to the ordinary taxi drivers, don't get me wrong, because this is a different type of platform. It appeals to different people. But for me, you know, if I don't want to go, you know, for instance, I never take my car to Casco. If I'm going out for dinner with friends at night, or if I'm even going for a lunch and I want to have a drink at lunchtime, I go by Uber. Why Uber and not a yellow taxi? Because I know when it's coming, I know it's safe, and I know what it's going to cost. So a lot of people, a lot of us have gone over to Uber. And they said more and more people in Panama now leave their cars, or in the city at any rate, and choose to use the collaborative transport modality through technological tools such as Uber. Uber is a short way of saying it. The platform has revealed the transport trends of Panamanian users. Now, in 2022, most people use the Uber platform to go to shopping malls, hotels, airports, restaurants, entertainment venues, and tourist attractions in Panama City. So, first of all, where do Uber riders go? Well, Multiplaza seems to be the number one spot. Tocumen International Airport, number two. The Allbrook Mall, number three. JW Hotel in Panama, that's number four. And the last one is the Hilton Hotel in Panama. Casco Antigua was the most popular tourist site in both destination and origin travel requests on the platform. And a curious fact, apparently December the 17th of last year was the day with the most trips recorded in Uber, or on Uber, or in Uber, in Panama. So they are making us see sensible people going out at Christmas time and not using their cars. They'll come back in a minute, we'll take a look, see what Panamanians order on the Uber Eats platform. So that's still to come. Passed away sadly yesterday. This is Jeff Beck. It's called Never Alone. That was a track which is really showing the brilliance of Jeff Beck's guitar work. Comes off of an album called Emotion and Commotion. In fact, it was a 10th studio album by Jeff Beck. It was released in April of 2010. In addition to featuring vocal performance as well by Joss Stone on the album, Imelda May and Olivia Safe. 64-piece orchestra on there as well. That particular track was called Never Alone. Brilliant. The album debuted at number 11, by the way, on the Billboard 200 in the US, with sales of 26,000. Beck's highest debut in his 45-year career. His highest charting album is Blow by Blow, by the way, which was produced by George Martin, who of course produced the Beatles as well. Time on the Breakfast Show is 28 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Let's say a very good morning to Christopher. Christopher Bowman, good morning to you, Christopher. Always good to hear from you. Good day, Jerry, Yasmin, and listeners. May we please hear Static on the Radio by Jim White. Try fiddling with the dial, you'll get static. Here he is, Jim White.
Listen to my neighbors sing. 10 years ago, I might have joined in. But don't time change those inclined to think less of what is written than what's wrote between the lines. 'Cause I know.
I do like that track. I've played it a few times and really need to play it more often. Thank you for Christopher, that one, Christopher. Really enjoyed it. Jim White there and Static on the Radio. Had a little bit of a feel for me for Cure in there. It comes off of his album, which was called Drill a Hole in the Substrata and Tell Me What You See. And by the way, his real name is not Jim White. He changed his name. Can't blame him, really. Michael Davis Pratt is his name, but he's known professionally, of course, as Jim White. American singer, songwriter, visual artist, and an author as well. Lovely. Love that track. The female vocals on there, Amy Marin, by the way. Or is it R.I. or no, Man? I think it is. Amy Marin. Right, we were talking about what we get up to with Uber, and of course you don't just need to use Uber for your cars because you've got Uber Eats as well, and it's all on one account, which is very handy. What do Panamanians order on Uber Eats? Well, the product and food delivery service Uber Eats also revealed consumption trends in the country. Panama City was the area where users made the largest number of food restaurant orders with the application. Users not only order at the usual lunch or dinner hours either, orders also increased between 12 a.m., that's midnight of course, and 4 a.m. Not surprising, you've probably got a lot of shift workers at that time as well. Most ordered items were from convenience stores, and we've got number one was eggs, number two was milk, number three was soda, four was bread, and five was salty snacks. The most ordered alcohol beverages on Uber Eats is beers, and then rum, followed by wine. Number two, we're getting there. Most requested prepared food by Panamanians, fried chicken wings, burgers, and American food. That was the most ordered for prepared food. This is Carolina Cotto, communications manager for Uber in Central America and the Caribbean, highlighted that in addition to the increase in trips to restaurants, hotels and airports, users also take advantage of the platform to move as a family with more spacious XL cars, and also with the Uber Pet service to bring pets. There you go, I never realised that. With Lala the parrot, send her on a trip. And also with the Uber Pet service, there we go. Another of the innovations is making trips that are redeemed with bonds to reduce carbon emissions, with Uber Planet, which was launched in the middle of last year, and the option to book trips up to 30 days in advance as well. Of course, how do you pay? It's nice. Currently, the Uber platform Panama, they use several payment methods. You can pay with cash, Visa or MasterCard, debit card, credit card, and recharging Uber Cash with a Clave card as well. So there we go. It's become a sort of lifestyle standard these days, hasn't it? And I tell you what, why don't they? I mean, assume they're the sort of saving the planet, Uber Planet. Why don't they get more people driving, electric cars or hybrid cars. They are, that's easy, hybrid cars. And then if you want to, you can perhaps pay a little bit more to help and use those as well. You never know. Eric Clapton and Friends with Mark Knopfler on this one. Train to Nowhere.
There is a train that goes to nowhere. Need no ticket for you to ride. Put you in a car, they call the sleeper. It's nice and warm inside. Your days are never numbered. Your nights don't matter now. Your time's no longer counted. This train's got you now. Once on board, you can't get off. Distance fades from you. There'll be no friends with you now. The ride is just for you.
Clapton and Friends there with Mark Knopfler. Oh, what a combination, eh? Eric Clapton and Mark Knopfler. Right, that brought me, that was called Train to Nowhere. And I was thinking about that. That reminded me of somebody else, a guy called Chris Standring. And he's an English artist, a British jazz guitarist, known for his heavy use of 1970s-style musical nuances. And before launching his solo career with his 1998 album, that was called Velvet. And he represented a third of the band Solar System, a band that combined elements of jazz and a bit of hip-hop as well. And I got sort of turned on to his music, but what an... The reason I'm playing this one is because we just played Train to Nowhere. And Chris Rendring, well, he's performing Fast Train to Everywhere. Great guitar playing there of Chris Standring, and say, British jazz guitarist known for his 70s sort of style work, really. Love it. Good one. They've been playing some nice music. And why not? I mentioned The Cure earlier on, didn't I? And this is one of my favourite tracks from The Cure. Lullaby.
I spy someone inside the sun.
I tell you what, how's that for good timing? That's brought us to the end of this morning's program. A gentleman called John Stilthoff, and I quite like his music, and that is called Thrive. Well, I hope you've been thriving on listening to The Breakfast Show. It's been great being with you this morning. Let me just say, by the way, because we were talking about Uber earlier on, let me say a very good morning to Jairo. He gave me a ride yesterday from my workshop where I left the car to the Wallace. So and he said you can listen there. Jairo, if you're listening, nice to know you're out there. And that's it. That's brought us to the end of the program. A big thank you goes out this morning to Alex, of course, Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, who was with us. Covered a number of topics this morning. And also, although she's not here today. Nope, she's been skipping off. She's got an event. Yasmin, she's not being with us this morning. So big thanks to Yasmin, because she's out there working, I'm sure, on our behalf. So thank you to Yasmin. Thank you to my co-producer, Neil Danby, to our intrepid outdoor reporter, Ingrid McCartney, for her everyday story of Country Fact, which was all about foundations and puppies today. So very interesting. And she'll be back with us, don't forget, tomorrow with Freaky Fun Facts for Friday. Big thanks to Ingrid. Thanks to the boys and girls at Group of Grada, keep us up and running. And, of course, more importantly, big thank you to you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, for being with us. By the way, if you want to advertise or sponsor the program, just get in touch with us. You can WhatsApp us on 677-188-22, 677-188-22. Very easy, 677-188-22. Or you can call Yasmin on 223-5162. 223-5162. Always lovely to hear from you. And that's it. All I've got to say, really, tomorrow's Friday. It's been another short week. You know, 2 5-days next week. Just remains for me to say, please, whatever it is you can be doing during the course of today, before we meet again at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, please, please, please do it carefully. What do I want to be doing at 7 tomorrow morning? I want to be talking to you. Not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-ta. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D. Produced by Yasmin Kiros. Co-producer, Neil Danby.